Bibles, please, for our second reading to the first chapter of the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, that the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. A brief introduction to the book of Nehemiah then. The author is Nehemiah. His name means the one who is comforted of the Lord. He is the king's cupbearer. He is a Jew. We don't know much about this Hakaliah here that is mentioned as his father. But he is a member of the civil government in Babylon, where he is serving. We might also note that he is an Israelite with affections for his nation. It has been suggested that Nehemiah was in the line of Judah, and while his brother was also of some repute in civil leadership, it's difficult to be dogmatic about such things. But it can be noted that he was a trusted confidant to the king, and as such served him well. And so we note that there is no shame in being of good service, even to unbelievers, in our callings. The date, his tenure on the scene of redemptive history is late 5th century B.C. He's a contemporary, although slightly later than Ezra. And we note here that Nehemiah is probably about 13 to 14 years later than the second part of the book of Ezra that we just read. But they are contemporaries. We're going to read about Ezra in the book of Nehemiah. Okay? The purpose of the book is to comfort the people of God regarding God's faithfulness to his people after the exile and the fulfillment of his promise to bring them back to their ancient land after his judgment and chastisement was finished. And so what do we learn from the book of Nehemiah generally? We learn that there is an end to the chastisement of the Lord. He will not always chide, as the prophet puts it, but he will remember mercy. And so notice what Nehemiah does when he prays. He prays back that particular point to the Lord, does he not? Remember the word which thou spoke by thy servant Moses. And you know he's talking probably about Deuteronomy 32. That if you rebel and turn from me, I will scatter you throughout the nations. And if you turn back to me, I will gather you from the places where I have scattered you. So that's really the purpose of the book, is to show that faithfulness of God, even in the midst of great difficulty, as they come back and rebuild the wall, and as they do so in the face of much opposition. We'll see the Lord providing for them, not only material goods, but providing great wisdom as well. So the first section then, he inquires of the estate of his brethren in Judah. It's not just a question. It's not just, hey, what's the news? Notice that his heart goes out to them when he hears of their estate. He hears that the walls are broken down and that the people of God are in much persecution. It is a fair question that he asks. Remember, there have been two waves of returning already. And so he asks those who are in the know, what is the estate of our people back in Jerusalem? How do they fare? They fare very, very poorly, is the answer he receives. And notice the grief and the brokenness of his heart when he hears about his brethren. Let's just lay it out. Let's be honest. He's in a pretty good position. He's got a cush job. He's the king's cupbearer, which means he samples the wine every day. He's in the air-conditioned palace. I know they didn't have air conditioning back then. But you know what I mean when I say that. He's living a life of relative comfort, safety, and ease. And his brethren have the stuffing knocked out of them on almost a daily basis back in Jerusalem. And the city still lies in ruins. We're going to find out in the next chapter that he cannot ride a donkey through the city. It is so ruined. There's stuff everywhere. Looks like a war zone, which in fact it still was. And so he's grieved. And so we note the great heart of Nehemiah and desire that should be a heart, that our hearts should be like that. That when we hear of the grief of our brethren, that like the apostle tells us, we would be afflicted with them. Nehemiah sees their affliction or hears of their affliction, and so he immediately goes to what the Bible calls in other places, afflicting himself. He sits down, he prays, and he fasts. And so he sat down, he wept, he mourned certain days, he fasted, and then he prayed before the God of heaven. And this is such an important response. Notice that he did not say immediately, oh, we need to do something about this. Let's go off half-cocked and unprepared and get going. No, his first response. May I say that it should be our first response as well. Was to stop and to pray, fast, and to afflict himself. To put off rashness and presumption. But with great calm and reserve and entreaty, apply ourselves to the one who alone truly can provide remedy. My dear brothers and sisters, it is no sin to stop and to pray first before acting. That is indeed one of the best things we can do. All right, and so he has certain things in mind, but he fasted and he prayed before the God of heaven. And so we note the text of his prayer in the next section. The humble address of Nehemiah as he prays to the Lord. He speaks to the Lord as the Lord God of heaven. He is appealing then to God's covenant name, his great power and might, and that he is the Lord God of heaven, his timelessness, his holiness. He appeals to him as the Lord God of heaven. And then note he adds, the great and terrible God. And so he notes God's, I hate to use this word, true awesomeness. Right? It's hard to find a different word. His fearfulness, His reverential character, that He is a God to be feared. Terrible is a good word. That is, He strikes terror in His enemies. But then notice also that He remembers God's covenant mercy, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. What an address. Recognizing, first of all, God's sovereignty and power, recognizing His reverential greatness, and then recognizing His condescension and covenant. And so Nehemiah goes on to beg for God's attention. Let thine ear be attentive and thine eyes opened, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant. Notice Nehemiah's constancy. Although it says he fasted and wept and grieved and mourned certain days, notice that during those certain days he was constant, importunate in prayer, which I make before thee day and night, he says here. And then the other thing that we see that is important to follow his example in is that he confesses sin. He begins with his address. He then asks the Lord for attentiveness, and then he begins the formal part of the prayer with confession of sin. He's going to ask about the straits that he and his people are in, but in order rightly to reckon those straits before the throne of heaven, he must also recognize the purpose for which those straits have come. And that would be because of their own sin. My dear brothers and sisters, this is a good example. This is a good example and salutary, very useful to us. When we come before the Lord under some kind of affliction and we pray boldly and barely for deliverance without a confession of sin, we have thwarted the very purpose why God sends affliction, to elicit repentance from us, to help us to recognize our sins and faults and weaknesses. That is why the Lord sends affliction. And so when we miss what Nehemiah does here in our own prayers, we work counter to the reason God sends affliction. Now, Nehemiah could have simply paid attention to his nice, cushy job. I must be really upright. Look at the cush that God has given me. Right? But he reckons himself something larger, a part of something larger than just his own calling. He reckons himself as part of the covenant people who are in distress. May I ask you a question? Are the covenant people in distress today? In some parts of the world we are. And even where we are not in this kind of physical distress, I believe it rightly said that our ease has left us in a great spiritual strait, as we've not dealt rightly with that. And so he begins with his confession then. And then, and notice that it is a very full confession. It's not simply a tacit thing that he throws out. Confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee. We have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Now notice what he says. Is this a prayer that you are likely to pray? Remember the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. Do you hear that? Nehemiah says, remember the threatening with which you threatened us. Because the threatening is in order to repentance. And then he says, remember also the repentance and thy promises concerning the repentance. You see, that affliction and that scattering is in order to their repentance. The one goes with the other. All right, so then he speaks about them being gathered by the promise of God, and then he confesses as well that these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed with thy great power and by thy strong hand. Sounds like Nehemiah has taken a page out of Moses' book there at the base of Sinai. Right? The Lord said, this people that you've brought out, Moses, and the Lord says, remember your name and your people, Lord. So, then let thine ear be attentive once again. And then also, he is a man with a plan. And that's how we end the chapter. Give me favor in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Well, we'll have to end there. So let's stand and continue praising.